things that are put forward. So, what are those widely accepted facts? I'm just going to present four of them quite quickly, and then we're going to have a video which presents that information in a slightly different way. So, very quickly, the first four facts. What are the first facts? Well, undisputed by any serious scholars is the fact that Jesus, a man called Jesus, was killed by crucifixion in the first century AD. Now that's written about in the Gospel accounts. You say, well, that was Christians writing that, we can't be trusted. I think they can, but anyway, there are also other sources that write about a man called Jesus who was crucified. In fact, it was not an unusual thing to happen. At that time, there were lots of people claiming to be messiahs who were going to save the Jewish people, and usually they ended up getting executed. And Jesus of Nazareth was another one of those. The Romans were very keen to put down these uprisings, and crucifixion was the standard response. And the Romans knew exactly what they were doing. They were very efficient executioners, and Jesus was certainly going to be dead at the end of it. And if Jesus hadn't been crucified, if this man called Jesus, we'll not call him Christ at the moment, let's just call him Jesus, because that's not controversial that this man existed. If Jesus had not been crucified, it's inconceivable that the early Christians would have invented this story about their Messiah. As N.T. Wright says, in the ancient world, the word crucifixion was almost like a swear word. It was so horrible and barbaric. And yet Christians made the cross the symbol of their movement from the very beginning. Without the death of Jesus, that cultural shift is impossible to explain. They wouldn't have made up a story about their supposed Messiah being executed in this terrible, terrible way. There's good evidence that it actually happened. Okay, fair enough. But what's the next point? The next fact is that of the empty tomb and the circumstances around it. See, even the opponents of Jesus didn't dispute the fact that the tomb was empty. They never produced the body. They never claimed that Jesus was still dead. Look, here he is. Because they would even easily have been able to do that, wouldn't they? That was never disputed. And even the way that we have the resurrection reported in the biblical accounts sort of gives evidence really that it actually happened. You see, because it's presented in a rather embarrassing way. You see, you have to understand, and the situation has changed now, but in the first century, at that part of the world, women were not trusted. Now, I'm not saying that's a good thing, that is just the way it was. And so the fact that women were the first witnesses of the resurrection would have been a ridiculous thing for the early Christians to start telling people about. You see, if they were going to make up that story, they would have chosen who they would have considered to have been reliable witnesses. In other words, men. See, I'm not saying I believe that, but that is the culture of the day. That would have been a ridiculous thing to suggest that the women could be trusted. It's what the historians describe as the criterion of embarrassment. In other words, something that's embarrassing or unlikely is more likely to actually have happened, to be true. You see, they wouldn't have made it up like that. So that's another piece of evidence that the tomb was actually empty because of the way that the Christians reported it as being witnessed by women. I think actually women are often a lot better witnesses than men. They're much more likely to remember the details of circumstances, but that's for another discussion. This was the culture of the day. They didn't believe them in that way. That's the second fact, the empty tomb. The third tomb is that people reported seeing the risen Christ. Now, I'm not saying that they did at this point, but it's indisputable that people claimed to have seen the risen Christ. And there were lots of them as well. And they weren't just anonymous people. They were named people. We have some of their names. They were written down. And they were on the record as having claimed to see the risen Christ within a relatively short time after Jesus' death. We know that at least in AD 55, not very many years afterwards, there were written down records, and we have one of those in 1 Corinthians, Paul's letter to the Corinthians, that there were all these different people who claimed to have seen Jesus alive. And these experiences can't be accounted for by Chinese whispers or hallucinations. It doesn't follow that sort of pattern at all. We're talking about all sorts of different people in different situations over a longish period of time. and also people who were not expecting it. You see, it was a totally unexpected thing that an individual should be raised from the dead. The Jews did believe in the resurrection of the dead, but they believed in the resurrection of the dead at the end of time of everyone. They didn't believe that an individual would be raised from the dead ahead of everyone else. That was just outside of their mindset. They wouldn't have imagined that it was going to happen like that. And all sorts of people believed and that they'd met Jesus, including skeptics and persecutors like Paul, who was so convinced by his encounter that he became a Christian, a complete about turn. That was the third fact. Very quickly, the last fact is the explosive growth of the early church. That is indisputable. That happened. It's in the history books. Unlike the other messianic movements where people said, oh, this is the Christ, this is the Christ, this particular movement, the Jesus movement, just kept going, even after Jesus' death. A group of dejected, defeated, crushed disciples who had lost their leader to a brutal, humiliating death at the hand of their Roman overlords, that's history, suddenly became a group of bold, extraordinarily confident people, willing to be rejected by their Jewish culture and to experience beating, persecution and death for their beliefs. That's in the history books as well. Is that likely to be something that happened just because they were passing on a rumour, or it was wishful thinking? Surely it's only possible in a group of people who were totally convinced that Jesus had risen from the dead. Maybe that they had in fact met the risen Christ himself. What other than the resurrection can explain the well-established fact of the phenomenal church growth which happened even within a context of persecution? So, what I've just said and a few other points hopefully will just be on the video now. If you can find that, Harriet, next item.
Dude.
Hey, what's up?
What you reading?
The Bible.
You're reading the Bible?
Yeah.
Dude, why are you reading the Bible? For class?
No, I just...
Okay, so you're just reading the Bible. You're just sitting here in a coffee shop in the 21st century using state-of-the-art technology to read ancient myths for no reason whatsoever.
Well...
Tell me something. Are you one of those super religious people who thinks Jesus actually rose from the dead?
Well, I do believe that.
You also believe in the Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, unicorns, Bigfoot. Ever been abducted by aliens? And do you buy into all those other ancient myths about dying and rising gods invented by primitive nomadic tribes back in the Bronze Age?
No.
Okay, so what's the difference between Jesus rising from the dead and all those other fairy tales?
Here's the difference. My belief in the resurrection of Jesus is rational. It's based on historical facts.
Facts? What facts?
Well, first, Jesus died by crucifixion.
Whoa, hold on. We don't even know if Jesus existed. Why should I believe your facts?
Well, because the five facts I'm going to give you are backed by so much historical evidence that most professional critical scholars who study the subject accept them as true. That includes skeptical atheist scholars.
Okay, so Jesus was a guy who actually existed and then got himself killed. So what?
That's the first fact. Second, his disciples were convinced that he rose from the dead and appeared to them. Third, Paul, a sworn enemy of the early Christians, suddenly became a Christian. Fourth, Jesus' skeptical brother James also became a Christian. And fifth, the tomb where they put Jesus' body was empty.
And those are well-established historical facts.
Right, but you can't just leave it there. These facts demand an explanation. Otherwise, you've got a big hole in human history.
Okay, here's an explanation. They all lied. It was a conspiracy, the most monumental prank ever perpetrated. His followers stole his corpse from the tomb and then started telling everybody he was alive.
That's the conspiracy theory. The problem is it doesn't explain the facts. How do a few spineless fishermen, cringing in fear for their lives, subdue a bunch of well-armed, professional Roman guards, roll away a 2-ton stone, steal a body, then hide it from a city swarming with people trying to find it? And why would they do it? The disciples had absolutely nothing to gain by lying about Jesus' resurrection. In fact, they were persecuted. And we have good historical evidence that five of them were martyred because of their claim that Jesus rose from the dead. Apparently not a single one of them ever recanted. People don't willingly die for something they know isn't true. They were there. They knew whether it was true or not.
All right, another theory. The disciples thought they saw Jesus alive after he died, but it was just wishful thinking. They were overstressed and just kind of hallucinating.
The hallucination theory also lacks explanatory power. 500 witnesses saw Jesus at the same time, and the disciples touched him. Psychologists have shown that hallucinations don't work like that. Nor does this explain the empty tomb.
Okay, look, maybe there's some other explanation, but the bottom line is dead people stay dead. Rising from the dead would be a supernatural event, a miracle, and science has proven that miracles don't happen.
Oh, really? When did that happen?
I don't know. I just kind of heard it somewhere.
Science has not disproven miracles. In fact, that would be impossible.
Why?
Science deals exclusively with natural phenomena. Physical matter and material processes, right?
Yeah.
But a miracle, by definition, is not a natural phenomenon. It's supernatural.
So
a supernatural event would lie outside the boundaries of science. It's logically impossible for science to throw out any hypothesis that lies outside its boundaries.
Why have I never heard this stuff before?
I don't know. Maybe because it's scary.
Scary?
Yeah. As long as Jesus rising from the dead is just a fairy tale, like Santa Claus and unicorns, it doesn't threaten my little world. But if it's a fact, if he actually did rise from the dead, that's huge. It's a total game changer. And that's why it's so hard to think about it objectively.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Big whoa.
Well, dude, what do you think about that? Plenty to discuss and think about, and an Alpha course is a great place to be doing that. Did I mention the Alpha course earlier? Of course I did. Take those flyers away with you. Do consider joining that. If you can't make Monday evenings, we do plan to run other courses in the future, but this is the next one coming up. So those are the facts. What's the interpretation? Well, we've all got different theories, different ideas, plenty to discuss in an Alpha course or over lunch or whatever. You know, if you accept the theoretical possibility that there is a God, and there's lots of really good reasons why you can do that, philosophically as much as anything else, then is it really that impossible to imagine that God might raise Jesus from the dead? If God makes the universe out of nothing, well, surely he can do anything. As I say, lots to discuss and think about. But I and many others would suggest that a supernatural explanation, in fact, fits the facts the best. And if we have good reasons to consider that God does exist, then that it makes it even stronger. The resurrection of Jesus is not, I believe, some April Fool's joke. It is a historical reality. And it's a fundamental part of Christianity. Without it, the whole Christian faith falls over. Just to conclude, as Paul said, the last one, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith, talking to Christians, is futile. It's a waste of time, he's saying. You are still in your sins. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we of all people are most to be pitied. Without Jesus' resurrection, the Christian faith does not make sense. Yes, Jesus offered wonderful teachings and healed people when he walked on the earth, but that is not enough to bring us into a right relationship with God. Believing that Jesus died to take away our sins is a great start, but accepting that he rose from the dead proves that what Jesus said and said that he was going to achieve in his death is true. And it proved that he really was the Son of God. The resurrection gives us evidence and a demonstration of God's power over sin and over death. And it gives us the hope that we will experience life after death. A glorious eternal life with Jesus himself. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Alleluia.
Alleluia.